Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. Coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Songs of Lent, the songs that the church sings during Lent, and especially during this Holy Week, must sound very strange to the ears of the world. People don't usually sing songs like this, songs for pop consumption. Either in the culture or in the church, you might have noticed, don't focus on things like a man hanging dead on a cross, but the songs that the church sings historically, especially during Holy Week, do. And one of them we're going to be focusing on during this hour of Issues, etc., Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. The title describes his anguish, his suffering, his physical suffering, but there's more there than just suffering of the body, and we'll talk about that in the course of this hymn study. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Holy Tuesday, the Tuesday of Holy Week. Dr. Arthur Just joins us to talk about this hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Always good to be with you, Todd, especially in this holy season.
I wonder, what do you think? Why do you think, and we're talking here largely about the American church, but kind of the pop American Christianity. Why is it that you don't often hear them, even during Holy Week, with the approach of Easter, singing songs about Jesus hanging dead on a cross?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You may remember back in the days when Mel Gibson had that movie, The Passion of the Christ. And it was remarkable to many of us who are sort of observing the scene, not only in kind of the culture, but in Christendom, but you know, there were many people in the popular religious culture, Christian culture, who were really kind of scrambling because the death of Jesus was so incredibly out there in that movie. And I mean, it was so intense and it was so violent that they really kind of struggled with how do we understand this in the light of what we teach and preach. I think what you see, and I don't want to, you know, finger anyone. We don't like the suffering. We don't like the death. We don't like the pain. We don't really want to acknowledge how violent this really is. And I remember back then when, you know, you were talking to people and you heard it all the time. You know, the movie's too violent. It's terribly violent. And I'll cite my former president, Dr. Dean Wenthe. I remember when he said, when we were talking about this, he said it wasn't violent enough because that moment of death of Jesus was the most violent moment in the history of the world. You cannot on film portray how violent it was when justice was being brought to the world. And that's the theme of this hymn, you know, that what this is God's justice against sin. And I think this is too much for a culture that really wants a gospel that doesn't have the deep sense of suffering and what it takes for God to bring about justice.
Now, I want to ask you about that, not violent enough, not in its portrayal, not that there wasn't enough blood brought to, fake blood brought to the movie set, but you're talking here about a violence that we may not even be able to see.
You can't see it because it's a violence of the super, you know, the supernatural powers. You know, it's there are superhuman powers that are at work here, and it is. I mean, just think about what happens in the creation itself. I always make this point when I talk about what it means when we say there's a new creation. For the creation to be made new, to be recreated, it actually is physically affected. There's darkness, there's earthquakes, you know, the dead rise, and then 3 days later walk around the city. I mean, the temple curtain is torn asunder. These are cosmic events that shows you that the creation itself is being affected by the violence that is happening on the cross, and particularly in the body of Jesus himself.
What would you say is the best biblical basis for the hymn we're going to look at, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted?
Well, this is most assuredly words that are taken directly from Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 6. And they're words that we always hear at this time of year. I actually used these words in a sermon that I preached last Sunday on the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And the words come very simply from verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted."
And is there anything that we know about the author of these words before we get to the first stanza of the hymn?
Well, the one thing we know is that it's written in the 19th century, and this was written by a very, very passionate, fervent Irish evangelical by the name of Thomas Kelly, who wrote hundreds and hundreds of hymns. And in many ways, this might be the one he is best known for. He was a convert, and he started out as a lawyer, converted to Christianity, and became a passionate preacher, eventually became a pastor in the Anglican Church. But he was mostly known as both an evangelist and a hymn writer. And you can really see sort of the passion that somebody like a Thomas Kelly has in the very language that he uses for this hymn. So it's a hymn in this, you know, this time where St. Patrick's Day wasn't that far away, by an Irishman whose passion for the Lord comes through very clearly in this beautiful hymn.
The first stanza of the hymn, "Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted." "Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. This is Christ, by man rejected. Hear my soul, your Savior, see. He's the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it. He's the true and faithful Word." Dr. Justin, there's a lot in that first stanza.
Boy, there is. It's pretty hard to even imagine getting out of this first stanza. The first line, of course, is coming right out of Isaiah, and then it points us. And I think there's so much that could be said about the fact that we are to look up to the cross. And there, you can see that in the Gospels, you can see that in the prophets, and you can see that in the hymns and the poems that we have, to look up and see him dying on the tree. I think it's probably because it's hard to do that. I mean, that's, I think, what your first question was about. I think our Protestant religious culture struggles with looking and seeing the shame, the horror, the humiliation. I know I've said this on your show before, and I think I'll say it again here, because I think this is what this it's all about. I mean, he was crucified naked, and how difficult that must have been for his followers to see their their rabbi, their teacher, their Lord, the one that they had been with for 3 years, the one they loved, not just suffering like that, but suffering naked, hanging on the tree, and the shame of that. Then the second line names him. This is Christ. This is the Messiah. And the reason he is there, and again, this is part and parcel why it's hard to look at him, is because of our rejection, that he was rejected by us. And you know, that language of rejection is just fills up the passion predictions in the Gospels. You know, who's he rejected by? Well, primarily the religious establishment, but at the end of the day, he's even rejected by his own. Even the first among equals, Peter, rejects him in the garden. But what do we see? You know, we see our Savior. And we see the prophet, you know, and this idea of Jesus as the prophet has got deep, deep roots in the Gospels. And then here's a citation from Psalm 110, David's son and David's Lord. Peter quotes this verse in the first sermon at Pentecost, that this is David's son, yet David's Lord. And so we see both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus in that statement. He is, though, the true and faithful Word, with a capital W. He is the living Word of God. And I think one of the things that this week reminds us of, and we'll all hear it this coming Friday on Good Friday, are the words of this faithful Word from the cross. The words that he spoke that were words of absolution, that were words of hope, and that were words that indicated the depths of his suffering when, in Matthew's gospel, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the Holy Week hymn on this Tuesday of Holy Week, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues Etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference, hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring three-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ccle.org, ccle.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Tuesday afternoon of Holy Week. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the Holy Week hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. Dr. Just is professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He has authored the Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. You can find out about and purchase both of these resources by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. So how would you conclude our contemplation? And as you said before, it is kind of a shame not to just spend the entire hour on a stanza like this, but how would you conclude our contemplation on that first stanza?
Well, I think the one line that I didn't reference is the one that says there, proofs I see sufficient of it. He's the true and faithful Word. And I would end our contemplation by saying this, that the place that we see most clearly where Jesus is Jesus, as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as the Prophet, as the Savior, as the Christ, is when he is being crucified. And that is the hardest thing, I think, for many people. I mean, going back to your original question, is to recognize that our Savior is first and foremost, and we see him most as Savior, as God, as Lord, when he is nailed to the tree. That is his destiny. That is why, you know, Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter are the center of the faith, because that is where he is most clearly to us, our Savior and God.
So what should we be listening for in stanza two?
In stanza two, what we see here is the in a sense the humanity of Jesus, his groaning, his grief, the fact that he is rejected by being disowned and insulted by his friends and his foes alike. That it was human hands that nailed him to the tree. It was human hands that wounded him and made him suffer. This is real. This is deeply, deeply real, and it shows you how, you know, Jesus in his suffering is in the deepest of his humiliation.
Stanza two, tell me, all who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like this? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would intervene to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave.
Tell me all who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like this? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress.
Dr. Jess, you said at the beginning of our study here that this is a Holy Week hymn that really has as its theme justice. What did you mean by that?
Well, you know, this hymn talks all about the human involvement in his suffering. But the last line is the line that in many ways is kind of the clincher, so to speak, in that, as it says, the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. And that's the stroke of the Father against Jesus, because he is the sin bearer. Because in his body now he bears all the sins of the world. And that what you have in Jesus' body is a collision, so to speak, between the one who now, not because of his own sin, but because he who knew no sin became sin for us. We see really, in a sense, the embodiment of sin. And what he collides with is the law that curses him. I mean, the law that is that which judges sin now looks at Jesus and sees him as the greatest sinner. And so the law has only one thing it can do, and that is to bring about justice. And that justice comes by cursing Jesus, and that curse comes by killing him. And so in a sense, you could almost say that the law killed him as a means to bring about justice, because Jesus was the full and total embodiment of sin.
Now, someone says, but isn't the cross a picture of injustice? An innocent man dies.
Well, it is. But, I mean, that's the irony, is that the one who was perfect in every way, the one who was the embodiment of God's honor because he was without sin, allows himself to become the most sinned against man that could ever live. So it is it's absolute injustice, but it is through injustice that God brings about justice. And I think what are the ways to look at Jesus, and I find this to be incredibly comforting for people who have been sinned against. In other words, people who have been violated, their boundaries have been violated, especially sexually, you know, and they experience shame from that, to see that the most sinned against person, the one who had the greatest shame, especially as he's nailed naked on the tree, is none other than Jesus himself, the one who is completely, totally without sin, and yet, because he is the one who is the sin bearer, the one destined to take our place, he is the one who must be the most sinned against, and that's how God brings about justice. It, in many ways, it's a mystery, Todd. It's beyond our comprehension, but that is how God chooses to bring about his justice against sin.
That other line there, and I wonder, we can't read the hymn writer's mind, but we can read his words where he says, many hands were raised to wound him, and none would intervene to save. There seems to be double entendre there in both of those little lines of that line. First of all, do you think he intends to say in many hands that those many include ours?
Yes, I think so. I mean, certainly he does have, it's like a lot of things. He has I would guess he has the historical circumstance there in mind, the soldiers who beat him, who taunted him, who scourged him, you know, who mocked him, putting on a throne of thorns. But it's all our hands that lift him up to that tree, because, I mean, he is the one who bears the sins of everyone. And what is amazing to me is that he voices the fact that Jesus, in his suffering, does groan because of those many hands that wound him. He does experience grief, and here you can see how the Isaiah 53 passage is really there. You know, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And I've always understood that in that he is the man who weeps over Jerusalem, who grieves for what he must do, who's deeply, deeply sorrowful for the extent of our sin and what he must do in order to make right what has gone wrong.
And is there also double or perhaps even triple kind of meaning in that line, none would intervene to save, not only the historical circumstance, none would or could intervene to save him there. His father does not intervene to save, and yet kind of in a reversal, the guy hanging dead on the cross is the one who's actually intervening to save.
Yeah, it is. It's the irony of ironies in many ways, because what one, you know, looks upon him, and, you know, the tauntings were, if you are the Christ, come down from the cross. And, you know, I mean, at the garden, the disciples bring two swords to, you know, and why doesn't his angels come and attend him? But not even the Father, you know, as you said, can rescue him, because his destiny is to be completely and totally forsaken by everyone, including his Father. That is the extent of what it means for Jesus to bring about justice. And I think our hymn writer just, I mean, nailed it. It's the last line was the stroke that justice gave. And that's, in a sense, what killed him. It was that the judgment of the law against him as sinner.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the Holy Week hymn on this Tuesday of Holy Week, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. When we come back, we'll look at stanza 3, You who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load, it's the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. We'll take up the third stanza of Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted as we study this Holy Week hymn with Dr. Arthur Just on the other side of this break. It's a profound mystery that we hear. We have all wrapped up in these hours on the cross, Jesus dying under the justice of God, the injustice of man, being killed, God being killed by man, suffering death under the hands of man. That's hard enough to comprehend in and of itself, much less the real gospel there, which is he is suffering death under the hand of his Father as well. We'll talk about the nature of sin, how the cross is the true measure of our sin's evil when we come back. We're joined now by listener Rocky. Rocky, tell us about the tax benefits of donating stocks to issues, etc.
What we discovered in talking with our tax people and our stock advisors is that it would be beneficial for us to be giving our charitable donations by this means, by giving stocks, which meant that we could give a stock and essentially say if you gave a $100 stock, it's straight money to whatever charitable organization you want to give, as opposed to cashing it out, we'd only be able to give whatever portion is left over after the tax consequences.
How would you advise our listeners if they're interested in donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds?
They need to go and talk to their stockbroker or their tax person, and I think they'll find out it makes a heck of a lot of economic sense. And you're much better steward with your money, because what you're ending up doing is stretching the dollars that you're able to give donation-wise, and you're able to give a whole lot more directly to those people that you want to support, and you're able to preserve much more for yourself using the laws that have been provided for it.
Rocky, is there anything that we left out that you want to tell our listeners?
Well, the only thing that you've missed is that people really need to support issues, et cetera. This is a terrific way to do it in a very economical way. It's a way to do it and be good stewards of the resources that God has blessed people with. And I would encourage everyone to support issues, et cetera, in every possible way that they can. And if this is available to them, I'd encourage them to look into it, because it not only will help them, but it'll help issues, et cetera, also.
To find out how to reduce your tax burden and support this worldwide outreach by donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, talk to your stockbroker or tax advisor, and then call Craig here at Lutheran Public Radio, 618-223-8385.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
You who think of sin but lightly,
Concordia Seminary Lutheran Hour Chorus with the third stanza of the hymn that we're studying on this Tuesday afternoon, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. I think, you know, it's really the mark of a brilliant hymn writer. They're not always brilliant all the time, but in this case, I think it is, to give an insight that is so profoundly true that if you want to know what God demands of man and how severely we've offended his law, look at the cross. That's pretty profound, Dr. Just. What are your thoughts?
Well, it is, and I think this was your opening question. I think people don't want to look at the cross. I don't think they want to look because I think they're afraid of seeing the horror of what placed him there. You know, one of my favorite novels growing up is Joseph Conrad's The Heart of Darkness. Some of your listeners may know it as Apocalypse Now. But there is that kind of journey into the heart of darkness going up the river. And Kurtz, the main kind of one of the main characters, he looks over the edge into the abyss, and all he sees is the horror. And that's what we see on the cross. We see that horror of sin and evil. We see the fullness of what our guilt has created. Here, it's guilt may estimate, it says. You know, mark the sacrifice appointed. Look at his body. Look at the awful load that he bears for us. And, you know, I love the last line. It's one of the great proclamations in any hymn. It's the Word. It's the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God.
People often ask, and I think it's the question is born of sincere curiosity. Often the answer I think is terrible. You know, could God have done differently? Is this kind of just an arbitrary decision on the part of the Father? Okay, I got to save humanity. How am I going to do it? Let's see. Okay, I'll just sacrifice my son. But this hymn seems to drive home the point that this is the only way. The only way man is redeemed is with the life of the Son of God.
And that is the whole teaching of the entire Old and New Testament. And one of the ways I picture it is this, is that, I mean, Jesus, we confess, is the Creator. And when the creation that he created good and right suddenly goes wrong because of our sin, the only one who can make right what has gone wrong, the only one who can restore it back to what it was intended to be is Jesus, the Creator himself. And the only way he can do that is through his death. Death is the means towards life. It is from the beginning, I mean this, just in the sacrificial life that starts with Abel and his blood that is spilled, but in the sacrifice of Abraham, it can only come through blood. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about. And it is only in the death of this sacrificial son that we pass over from death to life. I mean, his death is the means by which we cross the Red Sea, that we cross the Jordan into the Promised Land, because he goes before us first. Why? Because he's the one who created it good and now is restoring it to what it is intended to be, and it can only happen if he himself takes on its curse, the curse of our sin, the curse of our death, and the onslaughts of Satan and his hordes as well.
Is that then what it means when he's referred to there in that last line as the Lord's anointed?
Yes, he is the one who is set aside to be the Lamb who gives up his life for the world. And in a sense, that's what his baptism is about. It is the declaration of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that this is the destiny of the second person of the Trinity, that this is the work that he does, you know, from the Father by the Spirit. And it is his destiny. It is why he is anointed by the Holy Spirit. It is why the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." It is what the parable a couple of weeks ago was talking about, where, you know, the Lord of the vineyard sends his slaves who are mistreated, and then he says, "I will send my Son," and what do? They take him outside the vineyard, they nail him to the tree, and they kill him.
The fourth and final stanza of the hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. Here we have a firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost. Christ, the rock of our salvation, his the name of which we boast, Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built.
Here we have a firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost. Christ, the rock of our salvation, is the name
Just, can this hymn do without this last stanza?
Well, you know, I suppose it could. I do love the fact that it begins this last verse with the firm foundation, and it ends with the hope upon which our hope is built, upon the Christ upon whom our hope is built. And the last two verses really are the ones that in a sense, apply the crucifixion to us. And you know, what better way to end the hymn than to recognize that as horrific as this death is, and as horrific as the justice is that must be won by his death, this is the place we stand, and this is where our hope is. This is where our refuge is. He is our rock. And I love the fact that his, the name of which we boast, that, of course, is, you know, echoing Galatians 6, where Paul says, I'm going to boast in something outside of myself. I'm going to boast in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. And, you know, the fact that, I mean, he really, in a sense, garners all the great biblical images. The Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrificed to cancel guilt. I mean, there, you know, he has justice and he has guilt, and they are related. Our justice, you know, is what, the justice of God is what ultimately assuages our guilt. So, I mean, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful ending. And It's pure proclamation of what the death of Jesus actually means to us and the significance of it in our lives today.
Well, and that's the reason I ask, because really this is that stanza that says, without any doubt, what we have witnessed, what we are seeing here in this hymn is for you. Your thoughts there with a couple of minutes before our break.
Well, I think that's right, and it is... The absolute hope that we have, there is nothing else. And that's one of the reasons why the Great Lenten hymns appeal to the fact that when there is nowhere to turn, we need to lift our eyes and look to the cross, because there in the cross, we see the extent of God's love. And in that love, we see how he has built for us the most sure foundation that there ever could be, that in the ultimate sacrifice, in Jesus dying because he loves his neighbor as himself, and he loves God who is calling him to this death. He is the complete and total fulfillment of the law. He is the one who embodies both love and sin in the same body. I mean, it is what he is calling us to be too. And that's why no matter what happens to us, we shouldn't be confounded, because he is the one to whom we look to for everything that we need and everything that we are. And that cross is the cross that leads us forward in the life that we now live.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. When we come back 10 more minutes, we'll be hearing the entire Holy Week hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted, and we'll get Dr. Just's final thoughts on this great hymn as we head into the middle of our Holy Week celebration. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking at the hymn Holy Week, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. We'll hear the entire thing at Dr. Just's final thoughts. Coming up in June, the very middle of June, the 14th and the 15th, that's a Friday and a Saturday, here in Collinsville, Illinois, the very first Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's $100 per person, and it's open to everybody. You can go to our website, issuesetc.org. There's a way to register and even pay in advance online, or you can call Craig and ask him about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig, 618-223-8385. We'll have speakers like Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn, Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, Suzanne Venker, who's authored this book, The Flip Side of Feminism, Dr. Alvin Schmidt. He'll be talking about Islam, and I'll be speaking as well. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois, 618-223-8385 or issuesetc.org. Dr. Just, one more question on that final stanza before we hear the entire hymn. What does it mean to boast in the death of Jesus?
Well, you know, my sense is that this comes, as I said, from Galatians 6, where Paul is up against some folks who are boasting in their own works, and the works in particular is the fact that they are getting some of the Galatians to become circumcised, and they're, in a sense, boasting in their capacity for these Galatian Christians to, in a sense, proclaim that their salvation is earned by submitting to a rite of circumcision, which is, in a sense, the kind of embodiment of what it means to keep the law. Paul says that for him, as somebody who has been co-crucified with Christ in baptism, and what he means by that is what he later in Romans 6 will say, where in the waters of holy baptism, he followed Christ into the cross, into death, into the tomb, and then rose with him on the third day, that Paul cannot boast in anything that he has done, that what he boasts in is something that is outside of him, something that his Savior has done for him. And what his Savior has done for him is something that he, Paul, and no human being can do. And that is, satisfy the just demands of a God against sin, that none of us can, by our own efforts, satisfy God's demands for justice. And so we cannot boast in our own capacities, our own works, our own piety, our own, desire even to be saved. We can only boast in what God himself has done. And what we boast in is in this thing that we, again, began with, this thing that's so horrible, this shameful cross, this humiliating death, this horrific, horrific suffering that Jesus has to undergo. And we boast in that because we see in that poverty and that humility what our true God looks like. And we see God's justice. And we see God's love and his mercy. And we see how God loves us to the extent that it is through that death that we receive the forgiveness of our sins. So, I mean, I think that's what Paul means, and I think that's what these hymn writers mean, that what we boast in is something that only God can do. And in that, we recognize our own poverty and our own humility.
Here is the Concordia Seminary Lutheran Hour Chorus with the Holy Week hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted.
Stricken, smitten. He's the
Doctor, just your final thoughts on this hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. About a minute here.
We are at the very end of our pilgrimage to Jerusalem and to the cross with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we started in the wilderness as he was tempted by the devil. We have walked with him, and we've seen along the way what it is that he had to do in order to accomplish our salvation. On Good Friday, we will observe during those 3 hours of darkness the deep, deep suffering and finally death that he must accomplish for us. And it's also that we might be forgiven of our sins, that we might have life in him, and that we might be rescued from our enemies. And so in this holy season, we remember that what Jesus brings us is what we most desperately need. We need his life. We need his salvation. We need his forgiveness.
Dr. Arthur Jess is professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure, Todd, and a blessed Holy Week and a very happy Easter.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Will Whedon about the liturgy for Holy Thursday, for Maundy Thursday. Folks, here's a way that you can support Issues Etc., Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Now, this is our monthly or annual giving program. Membership benefits include things like the I Have Issues t-shirt, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your congregation. Now, you want to find out more about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, you can do so at issuesetc.org. You'll see a picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Just click on that, and you'll find out more about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You can also call Craig right here, 618-223-8385. Ask him about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig. Well, here it is, the measure of all things. This man, God incarnate, he's the measure of all of our sin because all of our sin was laid on him. He's the measure of full deity because all deity dwells bodily in him. He is the measure of God's wrath against sin, for he bears it all. God's justice in answer to sin. God's law as it has been violated. And this is what Paul tells us, that God made him who knew no sin. Also the measure of God's righteousness, yes. To be sin for us, all our sin, that we might be in him the righteousness of God. And he is the measure of God's love. He himself, hanging dead on the cross, there it is. Not just a demonstration of God's love, but God's love incarnate. That's what God's love looks like. That's how God loves the world. That's how God loves you, the sinner. In the death of his son, Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that cancels the guilt of the world and your guilt as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. Coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.